see knowledge of one's real self, the nature of one's real nature of one's own self being Atma, the consciousness, is covered for an ignorant person by ignorance. The person who is exposed to the Shastra study, who has done the Shravanam, as a lay person, for him also, even his knowledge which he has attained through Shravanam is also covered by his, you know, the worldly worries associated with the worldly objects when he happens to interact with the world in the waking state. And apart from him, there are thinkers and philosophers, the scientists. For them also, the real nature is covered by their own views in the form of thoughts. They're not lay people, but thinkers. Even though they are thinkers, they are not easily swayed by the worries associated with the worldly objects or people. Still, for them also, Paramatma Swarupam remains covered. And he wants to mention few of them here. Actually, in this Karika, Gaudapada Acharya mentions four philosophers. And who are the four philosophers? You see the Karika. Asti, Nastyasti,
Nastiti,
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 Asti,
Asti,
Nasti,
Nasti,
Asti, Nastiti,
Asti, Nastiti,
Nasti, Nastiti,
Nasti, Nastiti,
Vapunaha,
Vapunaha,
Chalasti Robhaya Bhavaihi,
Chalasti
Robhaya Bhavaihi, Avrunotyeva Balishaha, Avrunotyeva Balishaha. See, the Nyaya Vaiseshika philosopher is also called Nayayikaha Vaiseshikaha. We can say Nyaya philosopher, Vaiseshika philosopher, Nyaya Vaiseshika philosopher. It's called Nyaya Vaiseshikaha. He's a philosopher. And Nasti Yogachara Bauddha. Yogachara Bauddha. Then Jaina. Last one is Madhyamika Bauddha. So Nyaya Vaiseshika philosopher, Yogachara Bauddha, second philosopher you mentioned here, Jaina philosopher, Tamil Samayam, no, Samaya Madam.
Samana
Madam. Samana Samayam, Elia. So Jaina philosopher, and the fourth one is Madhyamika Bauddha. What are their views? First he says, Asti. The Nyaya Vaiseshika philosopher says, Atma Asti. For him, Atma is. And what is his view of the Atma? Atma is Deha Vyatirikta Atma Asti. Atma is there, but Atma, which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, is there, and which survives death also. Comes that much. Atma is, Atma survives death. Atma is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. Isn't it? It is there. But the problem is, for him, the Atma which surveys that distinct from the body, mind, sense complex is Karta and Bhokta. Karta and Bhokta. Karta and Bhokta. And this Atma is what now? Karta and Bhokta. Therefore, Atma is what? Chalaha. Chalaha means what? He is subject to change. Parinami. Chalaha. See the second line, Chalaha. Asti should go with the Chalaha. Chalaha means change. Atma is changing. Atma undergoes changes. Atma is Karta and Bhokta. Atma is different from the body, but Atma is Karta and Bhokta. This is the Nyaya Vaiseshika's view. Therefore, it's called Chala Darshanam. Chala Darshanam means Atma is Parinami. Atma changes for him. Atma changes. But he does not say Atma is not there. Atma is. And which Atma is? Atma which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. And then which surveys death also. But Atma is changing. Atma something which changes. Therefore, Chala Darshanam is his view. Atma changes. Atma is Karta and Bhokta. This Chala Darshanam is what the view of the Nyaya Vaiseshika philosopher. Then, Nasti. Next word is what? You have to take every word here. Next word is Nasti. Nasti Asti is there, but still there itself you can split the Nasti Asti second word. Nasti Asti. No? Take the Nasti alone. The Nasti is this Yogachara Bauddha. Hope you remember Yogachara Bauddha, which we had discussed before. This Yogachara Bauddha, for him, Atma is not there. There is no such a thing called Atma. Then what is there for him, Atma? He accepts there is momentary consciousness. Because Yogachara Bauddha mistakes the fleeting thought for fleeting consciousness. Yogachara Bauddha mistakes the arriving, departing, fleeting thought for fleeting consciousness. Therefore, he says what? Kshanika Vijnanavadi. The Kshanikam Vijnanam means the fleeting consciousness. There is no Atma other than this momentary fleeting consciousness called Kshanika Vijnanam. And because, therefore for him, it is Sthira Darshanam. Sthira Darshanam means what? See, the fleeting consciousness alone is there. There is no such thing called Atma. There is fleeting consciousness. This fleeting consciousness, which comes and goes immediately, momentary, isn't it? It comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. Therefore, it comes and goes. For it to, it undergoes a change, does not undergo change. For us to say it undergoes a change, it must have been there before also, isn't it? See, it must be available in two periods of time. That is, it must, I mean, past also, this consciousness must have been there. The present also, it must be there. Then you can say what? In the past, it was like this. And the present, it is like this. I can say that. You can talk about whether this undergoes a change or not. Change or changelessness of any object, you can talk about only if the object was there before and object continues to be there. Which means it must exist at least for a few seconds. Isn't it? Eka kshanatvat. It is there only for a kshanam. Only for a fraction of a second it is there. The consciousness here for him, the fleeting consciousness appears and disappears, appears and disappears, appears and disappears. Therefore, you cannot talk about the change. There is no change. It means this sthira darshanam. Sthira means what? Achalam. It is not, the fleeting consciousness does not undergo any change. No, it's no change on the part of the fleeting consciousness. Why? Because for this change to happen, it must be bahukshanam. It must be available for many seconds. Then you can talk about the change. Got it? Therefore, the fleeting consciousness is there. There is no Atma Nasti. Atma Nasti other than fleeting consciousness. And because the consciousness is fleeting, you cannot talk about the change or changelessness. What is now? It is Sthiram. It is Sthira Darshanam. Sthiram. It comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. It is Sthira Darshanam. What appears and disappears cannot be defined to be changing or unchanging. It must be there for some time for you to say, yes, it has undergone change. It is not there for a long time. It is not even there for many seconds. Bahunikshanani, it doesn't stay. It doesn't stay for many seconds. It stays for a fraction of a second. And with this, isn't it? Therefore, it is, there is no change. You cannot talk about the change on the part of the fleeting consciousness. It appears and disappears. There is no Atma other than fleeting consciousness. So, Kshanika Vijnana Vyatirikta Atma Anyaha Nasti. There is no such a thing called Atma other than fleeting consciousness, and which is firm. Firm means what? Appears and goes. There is no change. It is Sthira Darshanam. It is Yogacara Bodha's view. Then third one. Asti Nasti. First Asti, then he is Nasti. The third one, Asti Nasti. This Jaina Matha view, the view of a Jaina philosopher is what? Atma is not. According to him, Atma is there. Atma is not there also. Where is Atma not? According to a Jaina, Atma is there only in living, animate, sentient beings. In all the non-living things, Atma is not there. He is both, okay? Atma asti in living beings. Non-living things, Atma is not there. It's typically all of us think, no, initially, Atma is not there. That is why he is what? For him, asti and nasti as well. That we have to say asti, number one. The next word is what? Nasti. And the third is what? Asti and nasti. Is there? Is not. Where is Atma? In all the living creatures, Atma is there. In the non-living things, Atma is not there. Completely different. All pervasive. How can you say if it is not there in deep, in non-living things? When you say all pervasive means what? It must be ingu angu endru enamal engum neekamara nirenda. We also say that, isn't it? But Jaina says what? Only in living beings Atma is there. In non-living things, Atma is not there. Okay. Therefore, it is both what? Ubhaya darshanam. It is chalam in living beings, isn't it? Therefore, ubhaya darshanam means it is there in living beings, it is not there in non-living things. And when is Atma? This Atma which is there, during the samsara, it is chalam for him. During the samsara, you know, at the time of when we go through samsara in bondage, there is Atma is chalam. In moksha, at the time of moksha, in liberation, Atma is achalam. Sthiram for him. Got the point? Atma is sthiram, achalam, unchanging when in moksha. In moksha, Atma is achalam, sthiram. Whereas in bondage, in samsara, Atma is chalam. Therefore, he is called what? For him, Atma is chalam, Atma is sthiram also. Atma is there, Atma is not there also. Therefore, he says Ubhaya Darshanam. Ubhaya means both. Who is Ubhaya Darshanam? Who is Darshanam? Ubhaya Darshanam? Jaina's darshanam is Ubhaya darshanam. Chala darshanam, Sthira darshanam, Ubhaya darshanam. Which means only when you attain moksha, then Atma, only a living being who attains moksha, in a living being, Atma is. As a human being, attain moksha. When you attain moksha, Atma becomes what? Sthiram. When you are suffering in samsara, Atma is what? Chalam. In non-living things, no Atma at all. Therefore, this is the Jaina's view. But he says what? Asti nasti iti ubhayadarshana vadi. Ubhayadarshanam. The last one. Nasti nasti. Illave nasti nasti. Not one nasti, okay? Nasti nasti means what? Absolutely non-existent. Atma is not there at all. As an subject or as an object. Atma is not there as a subject. Atma is not there as an object. Atma is not there at all. Shunyam. Only shunyam means what? Nothingness. Called nihilist. Nihilism. Who says this? Madhyamika Bauddha. Nasti nasti. Therefore, his darshan, abhava darshanam. Abhava means absence. Abhava darshanam. Abhava means nothingness. Non-existence. In Vedanta, we say there is no such thing called non-existence at all. Whereas for him, there is nothing is existent here for him. It's for nihilist, nothingness. Atma is not there as a subject. Atma is not there as an object also. Atma is not there at all. Then what else is here? Nothing is here. There is no jagat. There is no... What is jagat? It's only, you know, projection of the mind. Jagat is projection of the mind. Therefore what? There is no jagat. There is no object. There is no subject. There is no atma. If Atma is, he says, then he has to say, how is it, isn't it? A subject or object? Not as a subject, not as an object, nothing is here, Atma is not there. Therefore, nasti nasti, not at all there. And what is there here? Nothing is there. Therefore, abhava darshanam. These are the four philosophers he mentions. If we have not understood also, nothing to worry. No worry. We understand, what are we going to achieve? So what, this only was part of the teaching, he just wants to say, you know, it is for Gaudapada Acharya, it's like eating, just want to take one peanut during tea time, biting and throwing it away, isn't it? For us, a big lesson. For him, it's nothing. Yes, he wants to mention casually. In his serious teaching, he casually mentions, a command. Nididhyasanam is so important for you. Now, see, you have to relive your Shravanam. Now, how can I contemplate upon? What is contemplation? We have to start, isn't it? I'm going to do the classes. I've already stopped until the 18th verse. I have to start from the 19th verse. Actually, the process of meditation, in 6th chapter, comes from that verse only, the method of meditation. I'm going to start this week, so you can watch on live stream. You don't need to struggle and come anywhere. Watch on live streaming itself, sitting at home. You can learn that. So, okay, already you understood, but how to put the teaching together, you will know that. So here what he says, Nididhyasanam is so important. As a simple person, not a great thinker, but being exposed to the Shastram, you become really intellectually sharp. Because Shastra study itself makes everyone, any dud becomes what? Because you're exposed to the proper Shastra teaching, slowly, it makes your, sharpens your intellect. No, really, it makes you alert. It makes you see what you're not seeing. It helps you understand. Really, intellectually, you become sharper and sharper and sharper also. Because just following the Shastra. So, but still a lay person. There's no, thinking is not involved, much thinking. But the so-called thinkers who claim themselves to be great thinkers and they call themselves philosophers, they have their own philosophy, the system of philosophy. Now they hold on strongly to their views from their own standpoint. They want to challenge the people. And even for them, Atma Swarupam, Turiya Swarupam being consciousness is always covered because I am consciousness. They can never say Aham Brahma Asmi because the fundamental problem is what? When you want this knowledge for your intellectual or academic, is it an academic pursuit or a spiritual pursuit? The Shastra study is the spiritual pursuit or academic pursuit. Am I studying the Shastram for my intellectual exercise? No. That is the difference between studying the Shastram with the help of the sannyasi and the professor in the university. Because it's a spiritual pursuit here. Because spiritual pursuit means you are understanding the actual problem. We understand moksha being the choiceless end. You do understand here. It is a universal end. It's entire humanity's end. It is not just only Hindus' end or Christians' end. No, it is a common human choiceless end here. And of that is, that Shastram says, it is not because of the ignorance alone. Ignorance itself does not cause any problem. Total ignorance is bliss. Really speaking, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance itself does not cause any problem. But the ignorance results in error. That error in the perception is the problem. Please understand, error in the perception alone is the problem. Ignorance by itself is not at all a problem. That's why in sleep, there is total ignorance. What problem do you have in sleep? No problem at all. That is why nobody wants to get up from sleep in the morning. We all get up somehow. But in early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somebody should come and wake you up. How, especially in this cold weather, at least India is okay. Here somebody comes and wakes up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. How will you feel, isn't it? We get so irritated because your sukham is disturbed. Nobody wants to be disturbed in sleep because in sleep, you are just yourself. In sleep is sukham because you are just yourself. There's no identity. Why there's no identity? There's non-identity. Because you do not even know your own existence. There's a non-identity. So ignorance by itself does not cause any problem. Total ignorance is bliss. That is why even the animals, wagging the tails, they wander here. Animals are much happier than all the human beings. Well, because total ignorance is bliss. Puja Swamiji used to give, till in the public talks now, which animal has any worry, concern about going in such a plastic surgeon? Change how the nose should be or the cheek should be. That's Swamiji's jokes. No? But because there's no complex. However, the horn is no, crooked also doesn't care. Why? Because there's no inferiority complex, no superiority complex also. Why? Because there's no identity. Why? Because there's no self-consciousness. Because there's basic knowledge is not there. I am. How knowledge is not there. See, the problem comes only in erroneous perception. See, I am dependent on the world for my happiness and security. This dependence is bondage. Because the world will never be available for you always. When the world is available, you are happy. There will be a time you will be ditched by the world. Understand? Which means, the world is, world was, world will ever be. But this world, which is there, as your companion, okay, as the world which is there, as an object of your pleasures, isn't it? Because then you have the source of security, this world, But still the world cannot be your companion all the time. Because we are very much dependent on the world for our security and happiness. Why are we dependent? Because we our perception of the world is wrong. We think the world is a source of happiness. We think the world is responsible for my unhappiness. Therefore, we have what? Passion or aversion, raga or dvesha towards the object. This is called having raga or dvesha is equal to having attachment. What is attachment? Attachment is equal to having raga or dvesha. If you have raga or dvesha, raga and dvesha, you have attachment. If you are free from raga dvesha, you are free from attachment, then you can say you have detachment. Got it now? When you think the world, when you have attachment to the world, then you are dependent on the world for your happiness and security. Then we are dependent on the world. The dependence is bondage. And because the perception of the world is erroneous because the very perception of your own self is erroneous. Your perception of your own self is erroneous because of your own self-ignorance. Therefore, how ignorance leads to the bondage. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is the ajnanam. This ignorance has to be resolved. Ignorance itself is not the problem. The error in perception has to be resolved, for which you need to resolve the ignorance. Even though ignorance by itself is not the problem, because of this ignorance alone there is error. That error has to be corrected, for which I need to resolve my ignorance. Therefore, knowledge is important. Isn't it? Because the fundamental human problem is centered on I. Isn't it? The problem is centered on I here. Therefore, the I has to be sorted out. What this I is has to be sorted out. And these people strong thinking I am a waker. Very strong notion I am the waker. How can they resolve the I? How can they solve the fundamental problem? For them to have any view of the truth, they must be what now? Have strong I first of all. Ahankara must be very strong. Isn't it? I am the waker itself is what? Ahankara. Strong ahankara here. Then one has to see oneself as a waker, then to have a view of the truth. And any view of the truth they have, without resolving where they cannot resolve their identity, then the fundamental problem centered on I will continuously there, isn't it? The problem is in the object, or where is the problem? The problem is centered on I or this. This is very important lesson Advaita Vedanta study. The important thing is we seek Shastra Jnanam, self-knowledge, as a means of moksha. Therefore, it is a spiritual pursuit. The problem is not centered on this. The problem is centered on I. I am small is the problem. I am unhappy is the problem. I am insignificant is the problem. I am insecure is the problem. The problem is centered on I means where the problem is, there the solution has to be sorted out. Isn't it? Over here, these people have the different views of truth. Atma is it changes. Atma is not. Atma does not change. Atma is there here and Atma is not there here. Different views. Because for all of them, they're all taking the waking universe as reality, then they decide their own views. Therefore, here the Shastram, that's very important thing. That is why for them, the nature of this real swarupam of the Atma, actually, I, the Self, am consciousness. Wave is H2O. There is no such thing called wave at all other than H2O. Similarly, there's no I other than No, consciousness. There's not nowhere other than consciousness. That must be very clear. And that consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. It has no beginning, it has no end, it has no change. It is of the nature of changelessness, it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It is ever evident, it is self-effulgent, it is self-existence. It is of the nature of self-existence. These things must be repeatedly, because subtle features, different features are there. See, Atma Nityaha, we say. Consciousness is eternal. This is one feature of the consciousness. Eternal means what? It is of the nature of timelessness. It is beginningless, it is endless, it is changeless, isn't it? You have to understand what the time, what is time? The time is what? What is the time? Time is of, what is time factor? Time is something relative, which is an object of knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation. That how you have to dwell upon that. It is called dwelling upon one feature of consciousness, Swarupa. And consciousness is one. You understand? Definitely there can't be many. And consciousness is indivisible, partless. And it is all pervasive. Like how, no, light is here. Light is one. Definitely you understand? Light is all pervasive, you understand? Different features of the one and the only vastu, one substance. Similarly, you understand it, nature of consciousness, nature of reality, the consciousness, the different features during Shravanam. You have to be dwelling upon that very nature. That is where you resolve definitely, I am consciousness which is of this nature. Which the more and more and more and more you dwell upon, how can you dwell upon if you do not know what self is? The Shravanam helps you resolve ignorance, and because you have the knowledge, you can dwell upon that knowledge, which is called contemplation. Atma Swarupa Swaswarupa Anusandhanam Eva Dhyanam. There is no, in Vedanta, there is no meditation means only your own real nature. That is, meditation upon one's own real nature being consciousness is what? Atma Swarupa Dhyanam is Dhyanam. Otherwise, meditation upon anything else other than Atma is what? Only Upasanam, which will not remove your ignorance. Even this also, this meditation also is not for removal of ignorance. It's only for assimilation of the knowledge. So, Vedantic meditation called contemplation or meditation upon one's own real self is only for assimilation, ascertainment of one's knowledge which one has already gained through Shravanam. It is not for removal of ignorance at all. Very clear? Therefore, one has to do that. Very important. Why? Because not only lay people get, you know, even after studying everything, when you are transacting in the world, all your ego, the individualities are, no, it becomes prominent. Your ego becomes dominant. Your role play becomes your real self. Your real self, what happened real self, is easily forgotten. Sukham avriyate. And very, with a lot of great difficulty, it can be remembered. Why? Because, isn't it? Because you are interacting with the vast world. Not an easy thing. In every role play, the frictions and then ragas and dveshas will all come because the people's behavior will afflict you. The contradictions, conflicts, everything will be there. So how to be objective towards everything, not to internalize? That needs what? Really sthira jnanam. In second chapter language, what? Sthita prajna. Sthita prajna, firm, assimilate, unforgettable knowledge, and for us to remember always, I am only playing my role. I am not the actor here. Okay. I am what I am. I am not this role. I am different from this role I am enacting here. All time, for which Nididhyasana is important. not only the simple people, the so-called thinkers also can never resolve their problem, because already I am a thinker, I am an inner waker, I view things in this way, and stand from their own standpoint, and they say what? They have their own views of Atma. Atma asti is the one person, Atma nasti is the another person, another person Atma asti nasti. Is there not also? Another person nasti nasti. Atma is not there at all, nothing is there. And like this, all these people, not only these people, and we have our own people also. Isn't it? I am sitting here crying all the time, holding on to the feet of Bhagavan, and Bhagavan is sitting elsewhere, Paramatma is sitting in Kailasam, you know, or Vaikuntham. I am sitting here, like this, different views. As a father in the heaven, whatever it is, I am poor, I am sitting here. All the time begging him, praying to him. And he likes me all the time praying to him. The Bhagavan has the joy of, oh, I'm the Lord, you know. You all the time keep on praying to me. There's no way of stopping your prayer. You know, that is the thing. Prayer is so important. No doubt about it. But there is a time, isn't it, we have to really see the truth. Really, all the cobwebs covering this have to be really sorted out, resolved. That is why even these so-called thinkers have this chala darshanam, sthira darshanam, ubhaya darshanam, abhava darshanam. So this has to be what now? This has to be resolved. Therefore, what you should do, don't worry about what other philosophers say. Let them have their own views. No, I haven't understood really what these philosophers say. Does not matter. We don't need to understand what others say. And now, let us focus on what we have understood through Shravanam. Understand? The focus must be there. Nididhyasanam is what is required. That is the lesson. It stops there. Therefore, chala sthiro, now let us see the second line now. Chala sthira ubhaya abhavaihi. Now with all these different views, chala, atma changes is one view, atma does not change, sthiraha, firm, because it only appears and disappears quickly, another view, ubhaya darshana means, atma is chalam, when it is chalam, during samsara, atma is chalam, during the moksha time, moksha kale atma sthiraha, samsara kale atma chalaha, is ubhaya darshanam. Then abhavaha, nothing is here, atma is not there. But abhava darshanam, the nihilist, all like this, the people have their own different views, and these views of these philosophers, where are they? They are all in the form of the thoughts. And those thoughts also what now? The thoughts are sitting, they also cover this Atma Swarupam. Abhavehi avrunoti. Avrunoti yeva balishaha. They are all very childish. Balishaha means what now? Even though they are great, elderly thinkers, having grown long beards, still they are all children in their thinking. It means, because the fundamental human problem cannot be resolved. See, when we study the Shastram, we touch the Shastram itself, we touch it as what? As a means of the attainment of knowledge. Which means, for us, knowledge is for what? To resolve our ignorance of the very self here. We are not interested in knowing what is the truth of the Jagat. Who is interested in knowledge of the truth of the Jagat? Am I really bothered? What is the truth of the whole Jagat? Where has this universe come from? Where does the universe resolve? Am I really interested? I am interested in my freedom from limitations. That is what minding one's own business. You know that? We have to be very... That's why being focused. I am interested in knowledge because it is a solution for my problem. I am all the time, I'm struggling. Every human mind is now, we have our own problems. How burdened, heavy, loaded we feel with all our problems. Then this tiny little mind, light mind, heavy mind. Where is the heaviness sitting? The same physical weight is there, isn't it? The depressed mind, dejected mind, unhappy mind, sorrowful mind, grieving mind. This loaded weight, now caused by what? The heaviness of the mind is what? It's all because of too many problems. And all these problems are because of this. There will not be any problem. These problems are all because of your erroneous perception of the world, your dependence upon the world. If you become self-dependent, then you are independent of the world. You are free. Independence means... being self-dependent is being independent of the world. Being independent of the world is what? Independence, which is freedom. We are not, we cannot be self-dependent unless we know what we are. I don't even know what I am. How can I be self-dependent? I don't need to become self-dependent. If I know what I am, you can understand you are already self-dependent. You are never dependent. You are ever independent. But we don't know this fact, isn't it? It's all because of the error in perception. Therefore, the whole study itself is for us to resolve the ignorance of the self, to solve the problem centered on I, caused by erroneous perception of the self and the world. Isn't it? Therefore, that is why completely different. You need to assimilate what your swarupam is and which you understood without any contradiction nowhere in Shastram. When you're understanding what you are, when you negate, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the sense organs, I am not the... the pranas, I am not any of these things. I am the knower. They are all known. I am the knower, distinct, different from all the known. Leave the external world. Even this body, my body, you know, which I say, claim as my body. And even from this, I am different. I am distinct. And this, I am the knower, distinct from all these things. Means, what am I? You know, Shastram helps you understand. And that is my real nature. This is only relative personality. The personality should not be mistaken for the person. Then Purushaha. In soul Purusha Suktam, where the whole is looked upon as Bhagavan, the whole is manifestation of knowledge, and we say the glory of this, isn't it? Which means, are you the person or are you the personality? Absolute personality is what? The person. The relative personality, the incidental personality is mistaken for the absolute swarupam. That is the problem. We have to see what is satyam, what is mithya, what is nityam, what is anityam. We need to see this, isn't it? In the vision of the truth, when you can be objective towards your own body, mind, sense complex. In objectivity, their problems do not become your problems. How you can treat other person's headache, the same way you can treat your headache also. Isn't it? That objectivity is, that's why it's not an easy, it's not easily remembered. But the difficulty can be remembered. That is why Nididhyasanam is really tortuous. That is why repeated Shravanam has to be relived. That is what he emphasizes. Even these people are all very childish. Why? Because Balishaha, they hold on to the Ahankara first. Then they have a view. Who is interested in this? Isn't it? The truth of the world. We are interested in the truth of the world. We are interested in the truth of everything here because we are also part of the world. Therefore, the truth of the world cannot be different from the truth of myself. In knowing that, in knowing my real nature, in having right identity, in correcting my error, I can take ownership of the freedom which is already there. This knowledge does not produce moksha for me. Doesn't produce. I'm only taking ownership of what already is. That is the beauty. Imagine knowledge has to produce moksha. Now, again, it will be comparison. Oh, you got moksha before me, I got moksha after you. And how much moksha you have got, again, we start measuring also. Pujya Swamiji used to say he used to tease actually. Like that one person goes to Kailasa first, and this person, and then you go to Kailasa working very hard, and you see your neighbor sitting in front of you, very close to Parvati's feet. And then you feel so jealous again, the problem will not be resolved. Now what I want to say here is, sell his jokes in between, make it live otherwise. I told you, nobody can wear his shoes. I wish he can talk well. No, he talks. He talks. He does. Sometimes he's very enthusiastic. He does 3 classes and he goes back and falls tired. Mm-hmm. Simple. This way he won't. Anyway. Now why I'm remembering him too much today, I don't know. Now what I'm saying here, the problem is, it's a spiritual pursuit for a mumukshu, for a jignasu. It is not an academic pursuit. Isn't it? Only in the very desire, when you discover the desire for knowledge of the truth, knowing the value of the knowledge, you are a spiritual person. Only you are not even spiritual. Therefore, here, these people are there all very childish. For them, avrunoti. Their own views they hold on to. They are sitting in the home of their own thoughts, covering their real nature. Therefore, they also are not free. They can't claim their freedom which is already there. That is the teaching. Okay, I'll stop here. Any doubts? The beautiful verses are following. We'll see. Beautiful, very beautiful verses are following. Until the 100 verses are there. So we'll see in the following classes. I want to finish at least 2 more. Okay, you know, I couldn't do that. Any doubts? Silence, which means? Yes, sir.
In my mind, it's related to this. Many years ago, I was learning Sanskrit. We were taught about the 4 stages of speech. Kala, Kanti, Majima, Vaikari. What, if any, what part does para play in the idea of the obscuring or the clarifying of the vision of the self?
Actually speaking, they're only in the relative context they're discussed. In absolute context, when you say the no word, no sound can really reveal the nature of the Atma. They're only relative sense we are discussing. There's nothing, they have nothing to do with the wisdom or knowledge. The para, paschanti, madhyama, vaikari, different forms of sounds. They are discussed only in the relative sense. They have nothing to do with the absolute sense. We do understand. See, like how Srishti is discussed. Now, Srishti, we're discussing Srishti. Is Srishti real? No. Just because Srishti is discussed, it is not taken to be, nothing to do with the reality, isn't it? That this whole discussion of the creation is to help us understand how the Srishti is not real. Similarly, there are also the discussion on the sound, different 4 types of sounds, the para, paschanti, madhyama, vaikari. They are also in the relative context we are discussing, that's all.
I was thinking more in terms of para, again, it's being, as it were, the seat of the individual. It seems to hold a certain power there. If something happens to you, something bad happens to you, then you immediately feel it in your stomach. You get that knot in your stomach. You identify with the external, this individual identifying which you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a central point there in this parada that does do this identifying.
That's what I'm saying, because our real nature is not known. Mm-hmm. Real nature is forgotten. Either it is not known, or even it is known, also it's forgotten. After Shastra study, if it is known but still forgotten, therefore, there again identity comes, isn't it? Relative identity again comes, surfaces. But there, the para pashyanti madhyama vaikari, those types of sounds, you know, we are discussing about, they have nothing to do with this identity. Definitely not. I'll talk about it again. I'll take this four separately and talk about it. What do we call as para, pashyanti, madhyama, vaikari? We'll discuss about it again. Separately we'll discuss. I think I mentioned it in my Taittiriya Upanishad class somewhere. I might have mentioned.
Yes, you have spoken about that.
Yeah, I will discuss about it. But definitely we have, it's only part of the teaching. When you openly voice it like that, we have, you know, how we chant mantra also, then the context, how the mantra chanting is effective. The effective means only relatively it is effective, isn't it? So to how to make it more effective, mentally chanted, it also is noise. And then or orally chanted, or sometimes we chant very softly, which is effective. In that context, I do talk about this para pashyanti madhyama vaikari. We will separately take these four words, Simen Mirojaji. Separately take these four, I'll discuss again. Okay? But one thing what you need to know is, the contemplation is compulsory. For whom? For manda madhyama adhikari. For Uttama Adhikari, like who Uttama Adhikari is? People like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, you know, like Ramana Maharshi, they are born means Uttama Adhikaris. They don't even need teaching. All the teaching has happened in the previous Janmas. So they only need to just little review. There's just now that a few days finished Jnanis, Mahatmas. But Manda Madhyam Adhikaris means strong, isn't it? But general rule is everybody has to go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. There's nobody is inferior, nobody is superior here. All of us are ignorant, including the thinkers, the non-thinkers, the lay people, ignorant people. All of us are same, sailing in the same boat with reference to one problem of samsara. Because all of us are erroneous in our perceptions of the world as well as of the self. So we can't help this. The afflictedness is still there. Means what? Still there is unassimilated vision. It has to become assimilated. For contemplation is a must. And contemplation means Vedantic meditation is definitely of the real nature of one's own self. What should they meditate on? No question. Should they do that mantra japa, this or that? Which mantra is best for me, better for me? No question here. Not any japa. Not any mantra. Dwelling upon one's own real nature is what? What is in game? This is the meditation. In fact, we are spoon-fed by Alshankar Bhagavatpada. Now, there are some verses, like Nirvana Shatkam. They're all not for singing, chanting. People sing, Om Shivoham, Shivoham. It's not for emotionally singing, evoking the emotion. Not for that. It's all for, you must have understood already, Shravanam must have been done already. After Shravanam, Mano Buddhyahankara Chittani Naham. Don't rush. See, Manaha Ahamna, Chittam Ahamna, Buddhihi Ahamna. No? This is all for contemplation. Then who am I then? Chitta ஆனந்த ஸ்வரூபா சிவா அகம் அகம் சிவா சிவோகம். பீப்புள் லைக் திஸ் ஆல் ட்ரம் பீட் ஜேசிஸ் சிவோகம் சிவோகம். பீப்புள் கோ ஃபார் திஸ் ட்ரம் பீட் சிவோகம் 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 சிவோகம். பீப்புள் கோ ஃபார் திஸ் ஆல் திஸ் ஃபாஸ்ட் ஃபியூஷன் மியூசிக்ஸ் இட்ஸ் ஆல் நைஸ். ஐம் வெரி ஹாப்பி அபவுட் அட்லீஸ்ட் தே ஹியர் தட் சம்வேர் இட் வில் கெண்டர் பட் at the same, but it is not for drum beating, for you to sit and aham shivaha, I am the auspiciousness, I am the consciousness. Shivaha aham means what? Aham consciousness, which is of the nature of auspiciousness. Shivaha means auspicious consciousness, understand, which is free from the sorrowless consciousness. Pain-free consciousness is Shivaha. The contemplation is very important now, isn't it? And we'll see in the Gita. Also listen to the sixth chapter classes, if possible. If you have time, be very good for you to listen. Because now Gaudapada Acharya emphasizes Nididhyasanam. Because he has taught everything. The first chapter he taught what I am. Aham Brahmasmi he taught. Then I am the consciousness. The second chapter he said, the whole Jagat also is Brahman only, there is no Jagat, he said. The third chapter, the Jiva Jagat Veda Advaita Prakranam. He finished teaching in three chapters. The fourth chapter also, he want to teach the same thing with different examples. And now he is emphasizing contemplation. Isn't it? Now if you are not able to be contemplative, the success, we are not successful means, now you need lots of Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? Why I'm not able to be contemplative? And then contemplation is possible only if you have understood clearly. So one should not go for contemplation unless one has clearly understood one's real nature. I have understood, but not very clearly means, every feature, aham shuddha, aham nityaha, aham buddha, I am asangaha. Every feature must be very clear. If I have not understood very clearly, again re-listen. Still not clear, punaha shravanam. Not clear, re-listen. Okay? In fact, repeatedly keep on listening. Every feature of the Atma, the consciousness, must be very clear. Once it very clear means, what difficulty is there? Just to focus attention on that feature. And then, everything is clear. Only when I sit in meditation, all the subconscious things surface, disturb me. Isn't it? That is why we need what? We have Bhagavan's grace, seek Bhagavan's grace, pray, and then still repeatedly we have to make effort. See, you can be successful in contemplation only if you deliberately start it. Dharana, dhyana should start, we should start, isn't it? Then savikalpa samadhi, then it should end up in nirvikalpa samadhi.
Swamini, Atma's features as eternal, timelessness and all this, big, magnanimous, can it be a feature of a point?
Yeah. What's a point? Feature means what? Swarupam.
Can Atma be, identified as a point?
No. See, Atma Swarupam. See, suppose light is there. Is light a point here? Light is one substance here. We talk about light means how light is. It is all pervasiveness. Yes, it's the nature. You can talk about the light only in terms of its nature, swarupam, how light is. You can't really point at what light is, isn't it? You can't take it. You can't take and show it. That's why.
The point is limited, isn't it?
Mm.
It's limited.
This swarupam, that is which means shravanam has to be done. The very question will not rise here. What is the feature of the Atma I should meditate upon? The question will not rise if it is very clear. Which means what? We have to do again lots of shravanam. Repeatedly listen, First see that Atmaswarupam becomes very clear, then dwell upon it. Otherwise, even the so-called thinkers are like children. And we'll also be children. We can't afford to be children. We have to grow. And we are already physically grown up. We can't grow anymore. Horizontally. Therefore, now we have to take care of our buddhi's growth. Isn't it? Culmination.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Why is Ishwara, the all-knowing, all-pervasive, all-powerful, has got this upati of maya, adjunct, limitless? Why is he limited by maya?
No. It's not. This is not real. It's not a concept. See, maya, Ishwara, all concepts, daughter.
Yeah.
We now don't talk about Ishwara's reality.
Yeah.
It's all concept. Ishwara is a concept.
Yeah.
And that maya doesn't limit, there's no limit. That's why English, don't take English words.
Yeah,
limiting adjunct is an English translation is wrong. Upadhi is a nice word. Upadhi is a nice word. Okay, upadhi means what you are associated with, isn't
right.
it? You see, upahitam, upadhi are the terms. Suppose I say light and opaque, if I say. Light is light, that's all. It's neither upahitam nor upadhi, isn't it? When you look at the light, inseparably with the opaque, you call it what? Upahitam. Then the opaque is what? Upadhi. That's all. It doesn't limit. How can it limit anything?
Yeah.
The English translation is a problem. See, here with reference to individual, I tell you, the conscious of Atma associated with the individual body is called manifest Jiva. But then we call that is Upahitam. Jiva's consciousness upahitam, then body is upadhi. Then you can, why say, because when you mistake the body as the Atma in ignorance, when the limitations of the Atma, Anatma are superimposed upon the Atma, then it's as though limited. It's not really limited. It is of the nature of limitlessness. How can the reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, be limited? Very swarup means limitlessness. How can it be bound?
Yeah, in Jiva also, the word, the adjunct, limitedness.
That is why Pujya Swamiji does not translate these words at all. He always says upadhi, understand upadhi as upadhi.
Right.
The limiting adjunct, etc., people try to struggle to put these meanings. Have you noticed, Pujya Swamiji always uses some Sanskrit terms there. I don't think you cannot find, if at all you find any such words in Swamiji's books, not Swamiji's words. The people who edited the books, they must have some mischief, okay? Swamiji doesn't even know. Nowadays, this Taittiriya Upanishad, Swamiji wants to edit himself. He is not coming, he is still waiting because he doesn't believe anybody is editing. Because when they do something, it's not, he doesn't feel very appropriate. Anyway, sometimes he wants to edit himself. Some people might have done it. Some students who are quite great scholars, they also use all these terms. Really speaking, the limiting adjunct is a word used, really speaking, in terms of its association. That's all. It's not a literal sense of the word limiting adjunct. It doesn't limit it. Because somehow it seems as though the indivisible consciousness it seems to be divided because of this upadis. Therefore, we say,
because of the association, it looks as though it is something else.
Mm.
It
is limited. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
Therefore, all these words we understand. Understand that. That's why Ishwara, the Lord, God, etc., concepts. We understand them. But when you understand the order also, that is why we have to value the worship. We have to value the prayer. Worship, prayer, the relative sense, everything is meaningful and useful and valuable. Like Shastra study. Absolute sense, nothing is there, isn't it? That's why where you have to take it, how much you have to take it, should know the advantages, usefulness and limitations of it. Everything should culminate in what? Finally, vision of non-duality. Isn't it? Finally, you have to say there's no... We don't say there's no Ishwara at all. We say there's no Ishwara other than the reality.
In which case, even everything, Ganesha, Muruga, this, that, and the other, they are all concepts.
There are different forms of different forms, forms and names, symbols. Yeah. Every form is a symbol. It can be any other symbol. In fact, without any of these forms also, take 100 grams of turmeric powder and cold it like this, Ganesha. It's called what? Pratika. Isn't it? Limbless. Form is what? Pratika. That is also. See, for us, any object can become a symbol. Any one thing can become a symbol. Any one wave can become a symbol for the entire ocean. Because it also has what? Equally the truth of the whole ocean. Isn't it amazing? That is why I told many times this one. In Navaratri time in India, the Golu itself is a miniature universe. The whole, the latest water has come in the market. The IKEA, we will do namaskaram to IKEA. Which means what? The whole IKEA symbolizes what now? The latest thing which has come in the market. All the PC world, IKEA, toys world, all the shops, you don't need to go anywhere. Sitting here, visualize all the toy shops. I tell you, this is Ishwara Dhyana, Anil. So, Upasana, if you want to do, sit in your own room, take all the toys world, then PC world, then IKEA, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, all of them, all the people, all the food, everything that is there, do one big namaskaram. Then see all the lawns, all the grazing animals, and then the people, everything, do one namaskaram, finished. That is what is Rudram, we are doing in Rudram.
See, Swami, in the base of the chariot, you have the whole world depicted, isn't it?
The whole chariot, the whole chariot, and with the person who is pulling, who is what now? The whole chariot is Jagat. And you people who are pulling, the vadam pudikkiravangala yare? Parama. You are all this, the draggers and the people who are, the chariot is dragged, all together is what? Ishvara for us. The whole is Ishvara. The knower and the known, we said together is Ishvara. The duality has to be resolved for moksha. I has to be resolved. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.